All right, thank you, Gene. That will bring us to agenda item 6.3.2. Riley Woods will discuss the open meetings requirements and open records requirements for us as a group.
Good morning. It's been a while since I've seen y'all, and for those who don't know me, I mean, I'm Riley Woods. I work for the Brazos River Authority. I'm an attorney with the legal department, and I've been assigned to work with Pam with Brazos G, and I have been working with Brazos G since 2006, since I first started working here. So, been here a while, just tend to work behind the scenes. And so I only get up in front of y'all once every, I don't know, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, but I work closely with him during between meetings. He's my go-to guy.
Before so, Wayne was the chair, he didn't have any gray hair.
I know.
So let's see here. So what I'm going to do is just do a brief refresher on Open Meetings Act and Open Records Act. I'll try to be pretty brief here. I know that everybody here has gone through open records and our open meetings training, open government training. So there are just a couple things I did want to bring out. So as noted earlier, the water code does provide the regional water planning groups, and it includes committees. Sometimes that gets left out, and not just a group, but any committees you all form have to comply with the Open Meetings Act. And well, a long time ago, when this first started, it didn't say that about committees. I think we have always interpreted it to require committees to follow open meetings, and Brazos G has always done that. But the actual requirement into the statute specifying it, I think, was added maybe a couple sessions ago. So anytime a government body, which is considered under the water code, is going to meet in order to deliberate public business, you're going to, doesn't matter whether any action is being taken, you've got to do it in a public meeting. You have public notice of the meeting with the time and the place and the subject matter so that you can apprise the public of what you're doing, when you're going to do it, where it's going to happen. And then the subject matter, that's important. You got to list what you're actually going to be discussing. You're not allowed to discuss items that aren't on your agenda. This item I've got marked out down here in red. Well, real quick before I get to that, also on the public notice. As mentioned earlier also, there are also, the Open Meetings Act has time frames for how you set up, how far in advance you have to provide notice. I think it's usually 72 hours. But under the Texas Water Development Board rules that are found over in the Texas Administrative Code, there are additional requirements for planning groups, such as the hearing you all had this morning. I believe it was a 30-day notice, and there's other types of meetings, maybe where you're going to be discussing an amendment or something where you may have a 7-day notice as opposed to the 72 hours. So there are other notice requirements and requirements for who you have to send notice to, all the different counties in the region and different groups, or anybody who has asked to be notified. And so there are other requirements beyond the Open Meetings Act as well. Now, this item I have struck out in red. The reason I did that is this is a new law. For years and years, under open meetings, there was this law that if less than a quorum and the intent is to circumvent the act, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to meet in numbers of less than a quorum with the intent to circumvent the act, or you could have criminal penalties. Well, back in 2019, this was found unconstitutional. And so in the 2019 legislative session, they passed a new requirement attempting to get around that unconstitutionality. And so I found that a lot of people weren't aware of this new requirement in here, because it is subtly different than the old requirement of meeting in less than a quorum. And there's a reason I want to bring this to your all's attention. But just to go through it real quick, the way the new language is set up is that if you knowingly engage in at least one communication that occurs outside a meeting is concerns an issue that you have jurisdiction over, so it's a business item of the group, that the members engaged in that conversation. So this is the outside conversation. You've got less than a quorum involved in it, but you have an entire series of these communications such that if you add them all up, it would be a quorum of people engaging. And everybody knew that there was going to be a series that would ultimately be a quorum, and they knew that it constituted deliberation, and you're in violation of the act. And the reason I like to bring this up, I have seen asked before, could, for instance, the technical consultant maybe call up each individual member individually and have a discussion with them in order to get ideas for what to work on in the plan or something like that. And my interpretation of this, I've called and talked to the AG on it as well, is that it would be better not to do that. I don't know that there's any official opinions out there right now, but they agreed that if it's not outright in violation of this, it's pretty borderline. Even though the technical consultant is sort of hired by the board, it still could be construed as being in numbers of less than a quorum under this, especially if they're eventually going to talk to the entire board. And, you know, the idea is they want all that communication to be public and not happening behind the scenes. And so I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention, because I've kind of found over the last year or two that it's somewhat unknown. So once again, notice requirements, 72 hours. Generally, emergency meetings can be called and it was shorter notice. And once again, there's other notice periods that are within the Texas Water Development Board rules. And that is, let's see, oh, one more. You've got open sessions and closed sessions. So open sessions, the public can participate in. We record them. And I don't know, Pam, do we record video of these, or is it audio only? Audio only. And so we do record the sessions, and that's how we keep minutes. Executive sessions are not recorded, and the public is not allowed in an executive session. And there's only certain items that you can, there's only certain things that you can do an executive session on. Pretty much the only thing I think I've ever seen Brazos G do executive sessions is maybe if they're interviewing like a personnel type matter. And that is about it on open meetings. As was mentioned earlier also, there is the video conferencing rule. We're not doing that right now. The way that works is, in general, if you want to do a video conference, whoever is chairing the meeting has got to be in one location that's open to the public. Everybody else can be attending through video conference, but as I said, the video needs to be on the whole time. You've got to make sure that you've got constant certain bandwidth and all this. There's details that our IT department could help with if ever we want to do that. And that is what I've got on open meetings. And then open records, I think in all the years I've been working with Brazos G, I think I've only had maybe one, maybe two open records requests that were technically Brazos G. One, yeah.
One is all I can remember.
Yeah, there may have been one a longer time ago. There's been one, I think within the last year or so, is the first time I've actually seen one. Although there may have been one much earlier when I first started here, but in general, I tend to handle all the open records requests for BRA, and so I handled them also for Brazos G. And in general, information is presumed public and presumed that you're going to release it unless it falls under an exception. You know, I don't think there's a whole lot of information under Brazos G that falls under exceptions. I know that in the planning processes before, maybe the location of, I'm trying to remember what it was, of maybe some critical infrastructure was an issue. And I think the way the Texas Water Development Board ended up resolving that was that we don't actually put that information into the technical reports, but it gets reported separately to the Texas Water Development Board. But you do have a duty to release information promptly, and then you have these time frames, the 10-day and 15-day time frame to seek an exception from the Attorney General if there is something that needs to be accepted. But we handle all that internally, and if we get the request, we'll let you all know and handle it appropriately. And that is all I have. And if anybody has any questions, or if you all ever have questions on the open meetings, open records issues, feel free to contact me. Contact Pam. She can get me as well.
Any questions for Riley?
If anybody has questions now, I'll be happy to answer something. Yeah.
So a lot of the board members have legal backgrounds. I don't. Mm-hmm. And this Open Meetings Act, how does somebody that, like, and this doesn't apply in my case, but somebody that runs a water district or something, if they have projects in their district that they have to work on, but they're being considered in here, what's an example of something that's acceptable to talk about? What am I over?
When you're talking about a conflict.
Yeah. How do you avoid conflict and something that could be construed as an Open Meetings Act violation?
I understand that individuals are going to go. What we're talking about here is dealing with specifically the issues that Brazos G is, for Brazos G purposes. I mean, if you're a representative of a water district, yeah, obviously you're going to have to go back and you're going to have discussions with your district and on what projects you have, what is going to end up in the water plan. But when you all as a group are getting together and discussing issues that are going to be coming before the group, and at the end of the day, you're going to end up with a quorum of you talking about it. That's where it becomes an issue when it's happening outside. But once again, that law is really, really new, and I don't think there's been any interpretation on it that I'm aware of right now, and how that's all gonna pan out. So, don't have a really great answer other than if what you're doing is talking, and the intention is that a quorum is eventually going to be talking about it outside of a public meeting process. That's where you get into trouble.
Okay.
But I think the way, obviously, the group is made up of people who are representing various interest groups, mm-hmm. that have to be able to go back and discuss it in their context that brought them into the group to begin with. I think that's understood.
Okay.
And Terrell, I think, and I'm not going to take the time to try to find it. Gene may know what I'm talking about, but the Texas Water Development Board does not, in their administrative rules, does not consider it a conflict of interest if you're representing an interest group that's then talking about a water management strategy in this group for that interest group, for the entity that you represent.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they know that it's going to be there.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Maybe it's a dumb question, but
it's not. And there's a lot of nuances that are a little bit different with these regional planning groups than say, I'm with the Brazos River, the Brazos River Authority Board. These planning groups are just different. You're still subject to the open meetings and requirements, but it's a just a different composition, different purpose. So.
Okay, any other questions for Riley?
Anything else?
Thanks, Riley.
Okay.
Appreciate it.